Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Hazreti Şeyh Yunus, Yunus Sabr Rahmetullahi Aleyh, many of us had seen him conducting the Dars of Hadith, etc. And his command over the science of Hadith. Perhaps there is a handful of people of that caliber. So he was commenting on Hazrat Mufti Sabr Rahmetullahi Aleyh and Mufti Sabr's style of teaching and his dars, taqreer, etc. It used to be very short. So, as Sheikh Yunus says, that means he's a very great person, extremely great person. His knowledge is so much. Now, you know, on every hadith, there's tons of information. So he will lead you to the main points and continue. Because his knowledge is such, if he gives one piece of information in detail, then that's not ending. So he just will give you the main parts of it and then continue. So now, when you got the main parts, now it's for you now to expound on that. You got the main thing. In my opinion, this bayan here is like that. It's a whole essence of all the entire tasawwuf. It's given in a simple format, but it's the entire essence. So he's spoken about nisbat. Nisbat translates as a connection. In the world, for anything to work, you need to have a connection. Light, you need connection, right? You need to hang this onto the wall. You need it to be connected with a nail or something, or glue. You need something to connect it. Right? So that's how the world works, that you need some contact, some connection. Now, when we sit here in this type of gatherings, we feel inspirational, feel good, inspirational. And many a times, we are misled into thinking, now I got it. Because I found inspiration, and now I've got it. Or, for example, you are in a jamaat, very good people, you know, making zikr, ta'aleem. And you are very paband. So after 10-12 days you feel very good. So when you feel that type of good feeling, you misread yourself thinking, no, I got it now. So this is just a temporary gift that you've been given. It is the force of the environment that you feel like that. When you leave the environment, you're that same person. You walk into an attar shop, it will seem like your entire body is fragrant, right? You leave the shop, finish, class, nothing. But Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullah has got a tafsir, Tafsir Azizi. So, under Surah Iqra, he's given a whole detail about this type of nisbats, the different nisbats that you get. So, the first nisbat he speaks about is nisbat in ikasi. Inikas means a reflection. See, if there's a mirror, right, you stand before the mirror, then it's your reflection. It's not the mirror's. It doesn't belong to the mirror. Move away, gone. So the same, what you've got now, it's a reflected thing. It's not your personal thing. Now, your mistake will be that, hey, I see I'm high. When I was there, I was some dreams and I was feeling so high, so I already got it. Now, in your mind, you're thinking, I've already got it. Whereas, that is not your personal beauty and excellence, it is a reflected beauty. See, look at that wall that is bright, right? So bright, it's looking beautiful, everything. Color, the tree, the lemon tree that is over it, suspended from the tree, looks so nice, right? But just say the sun to move away then. Is there any beauty in that world? Well, the beauty is gone. So the beauty is the radiance and the reflection of the sun that fell onto it. Therefore it is beautiful. And that thing moves away, it's finished, colors, end of the story. So it's a reflected beauty. So here he speaks about two things. One is called tariqat, one is called shariat. But he's explained all these things in a very, very simple, straightforward format. So one is a person that is very healthy. He's healthy, his organs are very well, right? Everything is very healthy. When he's healthy, nice, healthy, if he's going to be fed, then the organs will work well. He will feel nice, motivated. Why? He's got a healthy body. His vitals are all very well nourished and very well kept. So if he's going to be fed, then he will find the strength, the energy, and he'll find the motivation. On the contrary, is a person, everything is failing within him. Everything is failing within him, so he doesn't have the crave to eat. Here, he has the crave. The first person has the crave to eat. And he, after eating, he feels the motivation. He has the crave, deep crave, he eats, and he finds motivation to work. And this person, everything is just collapsing in him. When everything is collapsing in him, so there is no crave, right? When there is no crave, you force him to eat, then the body will not take it right. It will throw up, feel bilious, he won't feel nice. So this natural crave, is a result of the body being healthy. So that's called tariqat. This is natural crave to eat, to feel well. Right, that natural crave to eat, right, and then eating naturally, then that's called tariqat. As though spiritually it is called tariqat, right? And then after that you got that crave, then you ate and your body got that energy and you're directing that energy in different directions. Now that's called shariat. So in spiritual terms it will be like this. That you have a natural urge to do work. Natural, it's an urge. You don't do it, you feel very uneasy. Like the person, it's iftar time, nothing to eat, how he feels? How does he feel? Nothing, absolutely, no samosa, nothing. How you feel? Feel very uneasy, right? So similarly, the person who is spiritually right, if he doesn't do the work, he feels very uneasy. He feels very, very uncomfortable, very uneasy. Or if he commits a wrong, right, he feels very uneasy, very, very uneasy, very disturbed, he doesn't feel nice at all. So that means spiritually this person is healthy. He's got that tariqat, right? And then after that, after you've acquired that, now your body is urging, you've got a crave, right? And you're using that energy towards righteousness, namaz, being kind, being soft, tolerant, resistant, you're supposed to be resisting, etc. Now that's called the shariat, right? So one is that feeling and that kefir, that power, the charge, and one is thereafter directing the charge. So the charge will be called as though it's called tariqat, and then directing it rightly into the right avenues, that's called shariat. So as though both the shariat and tariqat are interconnected. So it can't, that shariat, you can't get the shariat right if you don't have the tariqat right. Because it's absolutely, imagine, person was, he's got absolutely no urge, no inclination, absolutely. So you will force him into the masjid. It's absolute force. He doesn't want to do it. His heart is not there, mind is not there. He's just a force. He's just thinking, hey, I must get out of this place here. Why they brought me here in the first place? So he'll feel like that. He's spiritually right down. So his tariqat is absolutely collapsed. And you are forcing him. So what he needs to do is get the tariqat right. When that is right, then automatically the shariat will come right. His namaz will come right, ruza will come, everything will come right. So that has to be worked. So as though both are interconnected. One can't do without the other. You only have, for example, the tariqat, and you don't have shariat, it's a waste of time. You got the power. Everything, you got the power, right? But you haven't got a fan, you haven't got a light, anything. So when you use, no fan, you got no lights, you got nothing. No, and you got the fan, but you have no power. So both are interdependent. The power to the fan, and the fan to the power, both are interdependent. You cannot say, that is, if you want that fan to work, you have to roll it with your hand. So, what will happen? Force, the car has got no energy, you have to push that thing. How much are you going to push? Right. So, the car itself, right, the car, as though it is the shariat, right? And the power, that energy, is the tariqat. So both need each other. Without the energy, that car can't move. Right? And you got the energy, but you don't have a car, then too it doesn't work. So one is dependent on the other. Shariat and tariqat. Now sometimes people use these terms here, but they don't know what it refers to. I mentioned it sometimes before also. I think it was about 1977, not 78. So I had to go back to India. When I came back, my father wanted me to recite Tarawih. He never heard my Tarawih because I was in Yasam, then from there straight to India. So I had to go back, get my tickets booked. So just around that time, Indians began to open up agencies and all that. So I had to get my ticket done. So I don't drive, so my one cousin now, Ajay Charo, you know. So I told him, take me. So he took me to that agent. It was a woman that was in charge there. Right. It was a Friday, and maybe it was about 8-9 o'clock, went there. So she went to do some work, to see the documents or something. So I'm just telling my cousin, hey, Friday, this woman here should have some respect, scarf, have an ijar or something. So like, even like an achak jar or even then, told that auntie, more or less say that, you know, Friday. He put me in the soup. So anyway, now she went ballistic. He said, what do you people know about deen? You know me, I know shariat, I know tariqat, I know haqiqat. And my sheikh, you know, my sheikh, he's got so much of trust in me. He made me his khalifa. He gave me the jubba and all that. What do you people know? So you see what happens. They use this word, not understanding what this word refers to. And therefore, there is a need to explain these things. So anyway, we're talking about in ikasi, that reflected one. So now, in the surrounding, you will feel a charge. But then there is the need to strengthen this charge. You got the charge, right? But now you have to, it was a borrowed charge, right? It was something that was borrowed. Now you need to make it permanent. You need to make it your personal thing. You can't use a borrowed thing. Right? You don't have power here, and you take it, you're pulling power from next door. Right? Hey, enough now, is enough. Do your own thing now. Won't they say that? Or you don't have water here, and you're pulling from the next door. So I say, Rabbi, enough is enough. You get your own connection, right? We got a connection, you get your own connection. So one is that borrowed energy. So most of us in this day and time, we got this level of borrowed energy. We don't have that independent energy. Right? Now, when a person is constant and is working, right, then Allah Ta'ala lets him escalate from one level to the next level. So, from this inikasi, then he moves on to ilqai. Right? Now it's an advanced level. So he was right at the primary level, now he's gone to the advanced level, second level. So now in this ilqai, now as though he's got a glimmer of light, small light he's got. Imagine now, it's a candle that you have got. So you've got your own light. Before you were in total darkness, now you've got some light. But now, as you've got this light now, you know how weak this flame is, right? It can't stand the storm, can't stand the rain, it can't stand the wind. Right? It's just a little small flame of fire. Now, you need to protect this and guard this so much against everything, all the things that are adverse, right? Everything that is against the flame, right? To guard the thing against the storm, against the rain, against the wind, against everything. If you neglect it, it's gone. So you had it and it's gone. Right? See, so now you got started now. Let's say give you some zikr, Quran Sharif, talim, do some talim at home, Quran Sharif, namaz on time, all that. So now you guarding yourself. And he's telling you, right, you don't go near wrong. See, anything, any storm, any rain, any wind, but you don't have the strength to withstand that. So you don't go into something that is adverse, something that is not conducive. Don't go there. So if you look after the thing, that flame, right, that flame then strengthens. So now you still have a charge moving, consistent, right? Now in all this, the important thing is, what's the level of your relationship with your Shaykh? See, because if the relationship, why the relationship is important, imagine it's just a very weak flame, right? A weak bulb, right? So if it's a weak bulb, the thing needs to be strengthened all the time. It's an electrician or someone is to come and correct it, see it, the thing moves all the time, right? So that electrician will be like the Shaykh. So he's correcting it all the time. If he needs some attention, he's attending to it. Now what happens to us is, we come and then we just go, carry on. So we got a very dim, weak light, right? And we are going with the dim, very weak light that we are going. So with the weak light, we are not making progress. We are at the same point where we were, say, 2, 5, 10 years ago. We are at the same point, there's no progress that is being made. Either we are retrogressing or we are stranded. And retrogressing is not good also, and just being stationary is not good. Because in the words of Muhammad Ilyas, deen mein jamaad nahi hai. There is no such a thing like stagnating. Ya to aage nikal jao, ya to piche hat jayenge. There is no such a thing like stagnation. Either you move forward or you will go backwards otherwise. Too long, you know, like water now. And if it's just stationary, what happens? Then it goes off. It needs to run. For the thing to carry on, it needs to run. So if you're not moving that thing is going to get, it'll decay. You can't use that water thereafter. So the important thing in this whole exercise is your relationship. What is the type of relationship you have? So as the relationship is good, you open. So as though there is a pipeline, and the pipeline is open, it's running freely. There's nothing that is jamming that thing. Now, it's left to the murid now to keep the contact for the pipeline to flow freely. But if he's coming, not coming, talking, not talking, saying what he needs to say, not saying, it's all, his upside is corrupt, right? Then you must get an interruption. You can't understand things in a confusion. But this Mawlana said this, and he said this, and that person, that's it. Now you get a confused mind. In the face of what's going on, you get a confused mind. Now, it is not so much that Mawlana that is speaking that, it's you. Because you didn't keep that contact with your elder. When you didn't keep that contact, then you see, every now and then you see an interruption. Hey, something's going wrong here. Something going off here. Something going off again. You know, I used to see Jaji Bhai Padia Sahib, but I think I won't be exaggerating. every week or second week he was writing a letter to the Shaykh Muhammad Saqi. He had contact. So he maintained it. I know a lot of times I used to be writing it for him. Right? Those days you should get an envelope, and you on the side you get an airmail, and sometimes you should have that, I think in French, par avant or something. So I just copied that word. Say, where you go this one? Both shots here. He reprimanded me. Now, why was imitating? I mustn't imitate that. I thought I was doing something good now to expedite the whole thing, you know. But now, he didn't want all this type of Western culture into his letters. He didn't want that. But I was thinking, I was doing good. But now, you see the relationship. Now, you see the man doing work, then his contact also is strong. He's got the charge. But for him to do that bayan, cry for 2-3 hours in the morning, do his tahajjud, do all the work after that, was an easy thing, natural thing. But then you looked at this side, you looked at the shariat of it, but did you look at the tariqat, how it was going on? I used to observe him. When I was in India, he must come to Sahanpur. He'll spend some time with the Shaykh Ramatali. Sometimes 10 days, 12 days, according to the program, they'll spend the time and then they'll leave. Now, what was all this? What was all this? This was that tariqat in him. So he had to charge himself. To keep himself running, he had to charge himself. So in the absence, it was letters. In the presence, he's living with the Shaykh. Now he's getting charged. And then he's moving. And you know, it was a sight to see when he's sitting in the presence of this Mashayikh. Silent, very respectful. Ji, take all the points, whatever they're saying. And whatever they said, whatever this is, hard or easy, he would try. To the best of his ability, whatever was told to him, he would try. He won't fail in that. But now you see, if the giver is right, and the recipient is also right, then you see things flourishing. The giver is right, and the recipient also is right, then you see everything is flourishing. So both have to be right. If the giver is like me, failing, collapsing, or the recipient is not right, see, there's a pipe now coming, right? Right. And the pipe is not right. So there is the flow, but there's holes in that pipe. So the flow is going, but then there's holes there. You have damaged the whole thing. You have damaged the whole relationship, damaged the connection. So everything is getting lost. All that water that was flowing through is getting lost. It's not going where it's supposed to be going. Everything is getting thrown away. See. So at the second level, when you got that ilqai, they have to be protective. Very careful. Very, very careful of it. Right? Sometimes the mashayikh, they give the ijazat when that person reaches the second level. Sometimes. But then, when they give that ijazat, that murid has to be very careful. It is not a dalil of kamal. That ijazat is not a dalil of perfection. It's a dalil that this person has got some munasabat. What? He's compatible with this fun. Yes, he's compatible with the science of the soul. He's compatible. So it's a indication of compatibility, not an indication of excellence in most cases. You will not say all cases, but in most cases, you will not say that it's an indication of perfection. It's an indication of compatible. Now, he's compatible. If he works now, he'll make a lot of strides. Like you get a student coming to a madrasa, and then at the end of the course, then you have a grand jalsa, etc., graduation, all that. Right? So in the madrasa, whilst he was there, he was doing very well. 100% in most kitabs, and otherwise 90%, 95%. Is reading very well, explaining it very well, understanding it very well. So that was until he was in the madrasa. Now he's got that certificate. If he maintains the same thing, the relationship with the kitabs, with his ustad, etc., now his knowledge will just grow from strength to strength, will just improve, go on improving. But if you think, no, now I'm done. Now I am done now. And you just leave the kitab as a showcase, you know, in the lounge now. All the nice furniture there, and all the kitabs are there, packed up very nice. I said, well, I've done the work now. Now I don't, tahsila hasila, what he says. I read these things here now. So why must I go and break my head again with it? Then after a few years, what will happen? You know, I was talking to one alim, a little bit elder than me. He says, hey, you know, even look at Usul al-Shashi, is such a difficult thing for me. No, but he was a good orator, very good orator. He's late now. Very good orator once he was. But it's an effort to look at it. No relationship. He's got no relationship with the kitab. Now what happened? So, in the madrasa day, he was excelling, you know. He was overtaking everybody. But then he left the relationship with the kitab. When he left the relationship with the kitab, that's what happened. That's why I told Mawajwaya then, until you don't have a proper madrasa, what you should be doing, you'll distribute the kitab, like Jalalain, Hidayah, Mishkat, etc. Then twice or thrice in the week what you must do, have a sitting. So you made mutala of Hidayah, he made of Jalalain. Whatever you read, whatever you came across, you discussed it. What he came across, he discussed it. So at least you will keep that ilm going. But you leave that out then, whatever you have acquired 7-8 years, all that thing washed out. You see. So this ilqai, that nisbat, that connection, doesn't mean that you have excelled. Yes, you are compatible now. Now it's for you now to use that compatibility to go on, to advance, to progress. So that's the second level. The third level now is called islahi. So, normally our silsila, when you come to that level of islahi, then they give you ijazat. Then they give you khilafat, islahi. See? So the islahi is even one level ahead. It's more advanced than inikasi or ilqai. It's something even more advanced. The Musab says that he asked the Shaykh, what is this nisbat all about? See, we want that connection with Allah Ta'ala. And we want a good relationship, right? So that when we are ending, then the relationship is very sound. We're looking forward to meeting Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Pak is also longing to see us. That's the whole idea, right? What's the idea? That as we meet Allah Ta'ala, he likes our coming, and we are longing to meet him. Irji'i إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَةً. That's what we're after, right? So now, how do you acquire it? Now that's the important thing, this nisbat, you see. That if that day comes, if it's today, or 10 years' time, or 20 years' time, it's a miracle, then, like someone made dua, let it be the best day. So, if it is the best relationship, then that will be the best day. But the relationship is not good, then how do you expect it to be the best day? How do you expect it to be the best day? So you have to improve the relationship all the time. So when the ultimate day comes, then that's the best day. See, so this relationship has to be improved. So that becomes like the best day. So Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah had asked the Shaykh Rahmatullah, now what is this nisbat all about? He says, initially the murid, he develops a relationship with his sheikh. Right? You know, I said, first you build a rapport. And nowadays, what our mashayikh say, that because people's minds are weak now, so it's better for them not to stay for long periods. Stay a day or something, in a month or something, they stay a day or they come and meet a week, and then they go away. Then Ramadan, they can come and stay, right? Now, why they prefer this type of an approach nowadays, when you come once a week or something, or then come in Ramadan, is because your minds are weak. Now, what do they mean by your minds are weak? What they mean is that you may see something in the presence of the Shaykh that you may not feel very comfortable with, right? And when you're not feeling comfortable, then your trust and your confidence will be affected. Maybe at that time, he was shouting his son. Right? Or an attendant, he was telling him something. Right? Or maybe really he made a mistake. Really, he said something that was not appropriate. Right? Now, because of that misdemeanor, that mistake, what's going to happen? You saw the thing, and your trust, your confidence and respect is going to be affected because of the weakness of your mind, right? And when that is lost, then your relationship also is affected. Now, in real terms, in other terms, how do you explain that? See, a person is weak in mind, right? When he's weak in mind, say for example, he just came home, right? And his wife was on the phone, or newly married, and his wife on the phone. As he came in, so she just left the phone. Yeah, she is talking to her old boyfriend she's talking with. Right? Now, when you have got this doubt about your wife, I ask you, will you enjoy the same relationship? Will you enjoy the same relationship? The relationship is going to be affected. And the wife is going to perceive it, she's going to notice it. By before that lovey-dovey that was there, I don't see it now. The duff is gone now. She's going to notice it, right? Now, will you feel the same reception now? No one will feel it. So because people's minds have gone so weak, right? For them, for most people, someone, they see whatever they see, they can digest it, it's alright. But the multitude, they can't do it. They see anything small, hey, no, he's the wrong person, I made a mistake. Right. So therefore they say, stay for small periods, come for small periods, maybe once a week or something. And then after Ramadan or something, that you can stay for a longer period. Right? So your relationship is not affected. When your trust, your love, your muhabbat is not affected, then you're growing. You're seeing and you're growing. In the meanwhile, you don't know. There are some things that are happening that you don't know about. And it is not for the Shaykh to disclose everybody's story to you. It's not for him. He can't mention those things to you. You know, sometimes at the beginning I had stories here. You know, I couldn't sleep sometimes two days, three, I couldn't sleep. You know, when I just came in, so there was a case of incest, you know. It was a serious case of incest. Absolute intimacy. I heard that for the first time in my life. Now, I couldn't imagine that this can happen, you know. You're still very young. So my mind was so small now at that time. I couldn't imagine that can this, is it possible, humanly possible? And how could it happen? This person here, he's known a little bit, he's got a beard, all that. How could he? I couldn't come to terms with it. Then luckily at that time, my cousin, psychiatrist, he was here. His son used to come here. So I was just discussing with him. So he gave me an idea. So see, you think for the person, you don't think with him. You think for the person. In other words, the case is going to come, every day they're going to come. Today they're going to come, someone will come tomorrow. They're going to come. So you have to think for him. Don't think with him. You can't become emotionally attached. You have to think, alright, this is the problem now. Right, let's pack him up and send him. This problem here, let's pack him up without any emotions. Break your emotions and just talk to the person, carry on. So you'll be able to serve the person. It may seem that you're cold. But although you can't serve the person. You can't look after the person. So the individual doesn't know what we go through. So you say, no, why are we saying this? And why are we doing this? And I can't relate everything to you. I can't tell you this case, you know, I can't tell you who it was. The reason is obvious. That person's integrity, he's got a wife, he's got children. And now he may be a grandfather now. What will happen to the whole family if I go and leak all these things out? So I have to maintain his respect, I have to bottle the whole thing, hurt myself, and show you a good face. all at one and the same time. See? So it's going to be a little bit of a difficult exercise. So sometimes you see the shaykh in a different mood. You don't know what's going on. And you don't know why he's in that mood. So you have to, at one and the same time, do so many things, you have to do it. And everything is mental, the mind. Keep it, you still have to keep composure, calmness, still show a smile, still cheer up. If the family is going to eat, still eat. So there's a lot of mental things that are going through that you don't understand that he's going through at that time. And he has to still maintain the composure, everything that's going. Right? So that's why our mashayikhs, you know, nowadays, it's not the suitable thing to meet too often. Because the minds are weak. Small things you'll see, the confidence is lost, the respect is lost. Any small thing you'll see, they don't know. They don't know what's going on. Behind the scenes, they don't know what's going on. Now, we know what's going on, and we will show a certain behavior towards some person, right? We will show. But now, we know what's going on. That's why we will show it. We can't go and then publicize it. Right? Once it happened, right? I slapped one boy, right, on his back. 2-3 hard shots I gave him. Now, nobody knows, up to now, nobody knows what happened. 2-3 hard shots. Very, very good. Now, I knew it and he knows what he was doing. He hurt one black orphan, right, child, right? Broke his arm. Right? And then he's looking for mistakes in everybody and publicizing. Now, I know about it. I can't go and publicize what he's doing. Because it becomes a racial thing. Like I say, now it's a black now. The boy's gone, finished up. Half of it is gone. But now if I go and publicize it, what happens? It becomes a racial thing. If I don't do anything, he's going to take advantage. He hit one boy, he's going to hit the second boy, the third boy. And then what happens? There's no control now. I have to do something to go and sort the thing out. Now, nobody knows what's gone. Now, you can't make it a racial thing. You have to sort the thing, correct that, rectify it, and still be absolutely normal. Right? So there's so many things that go behind the scenes, right, that you have to rectify, correct it. And you can't publicize the thing. It's one, two persons that are very, very sound, intelligent. You don't mind sharing with them. But you don't get those people. You share a secret with this one person today, tomorrow it becomes viral. Whole world comes to know about it. So it's becomes such a complicated thing. Such a complicated thing it becomes. Any news viral, whole world must come to know about it. Only then they find the satisfaction. When it became viral. See, the minds are conserving. It's a Quranic etiquette. Is ja'am amrum min al amni awil khawfi adha'ubi. See, this munafiqin, that's their habit. Any news, they go and publicize. Walu radduhu ila rasuli wa ila ulil amri minhum. People that are in official positions, understand, they can't relate to news, they can analyze, see. Information must be passed on to them. Not sent viral. Anything must come, your hand, A. Viral. That's why there's so much of virus. Any stupid thing, nonsensical thing, what is supposed to be shared, what is not supposed to be shared. You can't digest it, you can't share it. So, think now, what is this news? Must I say it? Mustn't I say it? You know, my mother's good friend was a Chotamara's family, wife, you know. So she used to come approximately in those days, I think every week they should come. Because they used to do the maktabs at that time, the maktab here. So after they did the maktab run, then she would make it a point to come and meet my mother. I think it was that Tuesday or Wednesday. And she'll give all her old stories. Shunora's family. So the one story I remember, she's saying, you know, it's my wedding day. I'm the bride now. So my elder brother, it was Yunus Patel's father. Right? My elder brother is telling me, Ben, whatever you do, बाण विचार करी ने करजो, मस्ट थिंक थ्री टाइम्स. After about half an hour, then whatever you do, taan vichara. Have three thoughts of what you're doing. Third time, hey, I'm getting frustrated on this man here, my wedding day, and he's loading me up like this, you know, taan vichara, taan vichara, taan vichara. See, think about it three times. Don't just do it spontaneously, you know, just impulse, don't do it impulsively. First, he says that you must think about the short-term consequence. I'm going to say this, I'm going to do this, that what's going to be the short-term consequence, right? Number two is, what's going to be the long-term consequence? Now, I may have satisfied my emotions by telling you a mouthful. Right? But in a few days now, what's going to happen? For example, your car was not parked correctly in the parking lot. I came out, I said, fire him. Hey, what's wrong with you? Idiot. No, I say, no, I gave him a piece of my mind, put him right. Now, short term I felt nice. I said, after a couple of days, Juma came, said, hey man, what a lousy thing I did, call him an idiot in front of everybody. Now, how much am I going to talk to him now? I can't talk to him. He said, Mona, give a talk now. If you don't talk, the dua's not going to get accepted. Hey, now, will you feel nice? Do you feel right? See that long term, short term, long term, right? So one is a long term, say a week or 2 weeks, and one is a year later, right? Year, 2, 5 years, 5 years, 10 years later. I call him an idiot. Now, my son wanted to propose with his daughter or with someone else, and he is the contact person. Now, how was I ask him to make the approach? See, how was I ask him? Can I talk to him? I can't. I lost the contact. The contact is gone. That 2 minutes of anger, I blasted myself. So now, Shunara's wife, you should say, this advice of my brother helped me throughout my life. Really, you know, if this applied, this applies the thing. Don't just do things on impulse. Slowly, gracefully, things will happen. You've got a short term, you've got a long term, and you've got a far long term. So if you think about it now, what's going to happen then? And these are real cases, genuine cases. Just last year it happened. One man is booked to go to Dubai with his daughter, right? At the 11th hour, the doctor said, see, your daughter got an eye problem, and that altitude may not be right for your daughter. She's going to be flying so much that altitude may not be right. So you better go and see that eye specialist. Alright. Now, he tried to make an appointment. That specialist says, I'm booked for the whole 2 weeks, I'm going for holiday, 2, 3. Now he's booked to fly. And the specialist says, I'm going for a holiday. I can't take any patient. Now he got cornered. In the meanwhile, this person that he had abused and insulted, right, don't want to have anything to do with him, he's bad-mouthing him, he got to know, right, he's got a problem, his wife, and he got a contact with that eye specialist. So he made a contact with the eye specialist, by this friend of mine, whatever, and his daughter needs to be checked. So that specialist phoned him, all right, come today. You see this short-term, long-term, and far long-term. But we don't think about these things. Let's do it. See this period that we're going through, we have become addicted to technology. And technology, what is saying, just do it. Just press the button, just do it. That really, that in the words of the hadith, is shaitanic culture. Al-ujlatu min shaitan. It's a real, absolute shaitanic, just do it. Don't think, now, don't think long term, don't think far long term, don't think anything. Just do it, just say what you want to say. Now, how important is this Chotabara's family and her advice? It's so important. It keeps you safe from so much of problems. It's information, I must say, lead, must tell information. Now, in this whole ethical process, messages, don't bring it. Because in the etiqaf, you want to bring a certain mind, right? Dhyan of Allah. This is happening, that person is saying something else, third person. Now, it confuses the mind. But the same focus that you need, you don't get it. And the information is not so pressing. Sometimes it's half a fact, sometimes it's not a fact, sometimes it's just an imagination, sometimes it's guesswork. And now, you're listening to it and you're locked up here. So, what are you going to do with that information? It is going to compound you. So we leave all that for after etiqaf. Everything leave it after etiqaf. So what you came for here, you're achieving that, you're taking a direction, all the rest is, it will take place in its time. It will come in its time. So this is called ilqai. And then there's two levels again above this. Let me just finish that, as the Shaykh on this answer. Time is up now. So he says, now, when you build a relationship with the Shaykh, and I just showed you what is a relationship, right? Then that relationship then progresses from muhabbat to ishq, right? Ishq is like a very advanced level of muhabbat. So one is a relationship, from the relationship it goes to muhabbat, and from muhabbat it goes to ishq. It's a very advanced level, right? The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is sitting to eat, right? I'm just showing an indication of ishq, muhabbat, advanced level. So as there was no food and he sat down to eat, and then he says, alright, take this for Fatima. She also has nothing to eat. But that's an advanced level of muhabbat. That if I eat and my daughter is not eating, then, you know, she hasn't eaten, how will she feel? She's at advanced level. The advanced level will make you do things in the spirit of love. The spirit of love will become evident. The spirit of love will become evident. See where this person's mind is now. Yeah, he's thinking. So that's called ishq. So now when it's come to that level now, then slowly what happens is what you have done is as though you have forgotten yourself. You know, in an advanced level of love, you are not so concerned about yourself as you're concerned about the lover. So when you reach this level, then the Shaykh's colors begin to rub onto you. Your colors all begin to evaporate. All yourself, your colors, your mannerisms, your values begin to evaporate. And his colors begin to rub onto you. You'll find now the sabr in you. You'll find this understanding in the person. You'll find that the person is very composed. Now, he was a miser, now he's a generous person. Now, he was not a thoughtful person, now he's a thoughtful person. Like I used to see some people, I won't say everybody, that had a relationship with Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah. And I would see, like, before the relationship and after, hey, what happened to this man? Before he was a temperamental person. And suddenly, that he just collapsed. What happened? So it was like that color of Hazrat Rahmatullah that passed on to him. Like his whole life, I didn't see him getting angry. I didn't see the man getting angry. So now, that color then, because of his love, that deep affinity, he like lost his own ways, values and all that. And that colors of Hazrat then is rubbed onto him. So that's nisbat, you see. So slowly those colors of that akabir, of that mashayikh, they rub onto you. Slowly. According to the level of affinity and relationship, I think passes on to you. Time is up now. Some of that time now. Still, a lot of things to discuss.